Why is it so tough for a foreigner to buy a stock in China?
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. Except for a few special people, generally you can't just buy stock in a Chinese company on the Chinese stock market. However, that could soon change, according to the Wall Street Journal today. What has taken China so long, and what will these reported changes mean? In Shanghai, Sean Ryan is Managing Director of the China Market Research Group. Thanks for joining us.
It's always good to be here, David.
Why these limits in the first place on an American, for instance, or a European wanting to buy some Chinese stocks in China?
The Chinese government has always prevented everyday Americans from buying equities in the Chinese stock markets because they're very scared about manipulation in the financial system, because they run in a command economy and they're not really prepared for fluctuations like we are in the United States.
So right now, typically, if, say, an American investor wanted to place a bet on more Chinese growth, they might buy Caterpillar stock, an American company that does a lot of business over there. But if these reforms go through, you could actually buy a Chinese stock.
Yeah, for the first time, Americans are going to be able to invest directly into Chinese companies that are listed in China. So this is a real game changer for retail investors in the United States.
And you see this as a real vote toward reform by the Chinese.
It's clear that China's economic model doesn't work anymore. It's broken. You can't rely too much on heavy investment and exports. So the government really is pushing for reform of its financial system. It opened up a free trade zone in Shanghai. It's also starting to allow more of its banks to invest overseas. So this is definitely a key step in creating a more sustainable and healthy economy.
Speaking from Shanghai, Sean Ryan, China Market Research Group. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now let's do the numbers. The key index in the thinly traded Shanghai market fell 0.5% today. The index in Hong Kong fell 0.7%. We'll be covering the launch of the new Twitter stock today. It'll start at $26, meaning the stock market will initially value the short message social media and advertising company at $18 billion. Is it an auspicious day for such a launch? Not really. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down at the moment. The FT 100 in London is down 0.2%. This week, the Obama administration kicked off a series of public forums to talk about a proposed new rating system for colleges. The plan is light on details so far, but the broad brush idea is to grade colleges on criteria like value and affordability, with the hope of forcing colleges to do a better job. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR, Amy Scott reports.
Students shopping for colleges can turn to rankings from U.S. News or the Princeton Review. Why should the feds get in on the act? Ben Miller is with the New America Foundation and worked in the Obama administration. He says, for starters, the federal government doles out more than $150 billion a year in student loans and grants.
There's a sense that the amount of money that's being invested is not achieving the returns that the administration would like to see.
The proposed rating system would consider tuition, average debt loads, and graduation rates. Richard Vedder is an economist with the Center for College Affordability and Productivity.
My great concern is that we don't have very good measures of the kinds of things that the administration is interested in.
Like what students learn while they're in school and how much they earn after they graduate. The stakes are high. The plan would ultimately limit financial aid for colleges that don't perform. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Times they are a-changin' for our friends, the debt collectors. The Federal Consumer Watchdog Agency this week put the industry and consumers on alert that by next year there will be new rules for how we get dunned. Marketplace's economics guy Chris Farrell has more on what the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is up to here. Chris, good morning.
How you doing, David?
You know, debt collectors are a bit like meter maids. You and I may love them, but they're not exactly popular figures. Beyond that, what is behind the Financial Protection Bureau's moves here?
Okay, here's what's behind it. The debt collection industry has been a bit of the Wild West for the past couple of years. And if you look at the Federal Trade Commission, number one complaint from consumers revolves around the debt collection industry. And, you know, the complaints are about they're harassing me and they don't give me good documentation and people just don't understand these rules and they want to pay their debts, but did I really borrow that money? So I think it's about time to clean up this industry, which, you know, it's an important function, which is if you borrow money, you should pay it back.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out. But what is the Financial Protection Bureau, what are they going to focus on?
So part of what they're asking is, okay, do consumers get enough information about these alleged debts? And I think that in many cases, they don't get enough information. Another part, incendiary topic, the tactics of the debt collectors. And here, I just want to highlight something that just reflects this world that we're in, this new world you talk about all the time, which is social media. So there, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, it's worried about texting and social media involved in collecting debts, which I found absolutely fascinating.
Now, there are critics of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that think it's just too powerful, not accountable, and may oppose this. But what about banks? Do you think the banks, powerful banks, will push back?
You know, you would think that, right? I mean, regulation. But I think the banks actually, to a large extent, are going to welcome this kind of rulemaking because some of the tactics that they've used in recent years, David, it's really backfired on them.
The economics maven of Marketplace, Chris Farrell, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, David. I like that.
All right. Kayaks, like a full-on 123-inch kayak for $11, TVs for $8. For a time yesterday, Walmart's website went haywire and hopes were raised, only to be dashed. Walmart apologizes, but it's not honoring the silly prices. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.